We read from sacred scripture, from the beginning of time, we were created in a garden. We were made in a vineyard, if you will, and placed in this garden, in this place of growth, to offer right worship to God as we lived in this garden. We're surrounded by God's creation. Every good thing, all sorts of food and animals that tend to our needs, all the wonders and the beauties and the awesomeness of creation, this beautiful, lush, very overwhelming garden we are placed in the middle of, and we are called upon God to live in a relationship with God in this garden, in this vineyard. But sin and evil convoluted what is good and true and beautiful. Suddenly we decided that we wanted to be God-like in our relationship. And we didn't want to simply worship God. We wanted to be on equal standing with God. We didn't trust God in a lot of ways. We thought maybe God's trying to pull one over on us. So we moved away from right worship. We moved away from godliness and holiness, trying to do our own thing, trying to overwhelm creation rather than be stewards of all that we receive, even of one another as well. We are made naked. In the beginning, that nakedness reminded us that we were made in the image and likeness of God. There was a wonderment about each and every one of us, of beauty and awesomeness of who we were. But after we decided to sin, we looked at each other and we saw not only our own faults and our own foibles and our own brokenness, but we recognized the faults and the foibles and the brokenness of the other as well. We realized that we were vulnerable and the other was vulnerable. We could take advantage of that vulnerability and we could manipulate those around us as well. Suddenly, we were no longer living as God's people, and fear and shame entered in. The garden, the vineyard, was now producing wild grapes. And that's the story of our fall, the story of sin and evil in our world. We decided not to live as God's people. We decided to live in our own way. And suddenly the garden, the vineyard, was demolished. It became wild, offering only wild grapes to God, our Father. In a few moments, we're going to bring up bread and wine to the altar. This is the centerpiece of everything that we're about here at church as we come together. And I'm going to take the bread and I'm going to take the wine. And usually the offertory song is still going, so you don't hear this part of it. But I say, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to offer, work of human hands, and become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, and become for us our spiritual drink. And then we respond, blessed be God forever. Because we realize and recognize that what we bring forward is from God, is a gift from God. This very, very simple bread, this very, very terrible wine, is from God's goodness and God's graciousness. It reminds us that everything that we have is from God. And we gather around this altar, we recognize that everyone around us is a gift from God. That all of us are making an image and likeness of God. And that's important for us to think about and to ponder. Think about what would happen if we look at people around us in the same way we do the bread and wine. We say to our God, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, because I have Ernie as my husband. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, Zelda as my wife. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for my parents who watch over me and protect me and guide and guard me. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for the young people down the way who mow my lawn, the young old lady who says hello to me every time I ride my bike past her house. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for the people you have put in my life. How different that would be for each and every one of us. If we bless and thank God, not only for the good things of the earth, for all creation and all the things that have been bestowed upon us and have been given to us. But we bless God also and thank and praise God for the people in our lives. And that's the challenge of our faith. That's the challenge of what we do here. When we make our profession of faith, when we talk about our faith, we are called to rekindle that desire to bless the Lord our God for everything that God has given us and the relationships that we have with God in heaven and our brothers and sisters that are in our midst. And we are called not only to ponder the goodness of God, but to take responsibility for creation, take responsibility for men and women in our world as well. That's our challenge. That's our task. That's what we are called to do. St. John Paul II, when he was in Denver for the youth conference many years ago, he was asked as he was getting ready to leave Denver, he said, what's in our culture today, in the United States, but in the Western culture, what's the one thing that really harms us? What's the one big thing we need to overcome? And John Paul very succinctly said that ours is a culture of death, that we become so numb to death and destruction around us that we don't even flinch anymore, it seems, when we see, when we observe, when we recognize, when there's hurt and pain, especially amongst the vulnerable and the poor, and those who are the owner of the weem, those who have no standing in society, we sort of disregard them. When there's violence and when there's all sorts of terrible things, we don't ever really take a notice. We don't ever hear that cry anymore. Our baptismal promises, though, call us or challenge us that we might take responsibility for the faith that we profess. Our baptismal promises say that we don't do this faith thing by ourselves. We're not in a vacuum, but rather we're in a community. We live in a communion with God and a communion with one another as well. When I was at St. Margaret Mary's Parish, we had this huge copper baptismal font, which I really, really liked. It's a huge thing. We baptize and by immersion infants and small children. And we put warm water in it. It was really cool. So the water would sometimes steam, and you could see the steam in the morning kind of thing. It cooled off by baptism time, of course, so in case you're worried. And then we would take the child, and I would love to put the child down into the water, sort of splash the water over the child's head. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's like bath water, and a lot of little kids thought it was cool, and they're giggling and splashing around in it as well. And I have my, most of my thumb and forefingers all slathered up with chrism. I smeared it over their heads. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We had these big candles we give to the babies and these large baptismal garments. Because this is so significant. In baptism, we're related to God through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And such a powerful relationship calls for a powerful outward sign as well. That there's lots of water and lots of oil and lots of light that draws us into the sacred relationship forever and always with God the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. And that baptism ritual is not just something we do. We say to mom and dad, you promise and pledge to live by the covenant, to bring this child up in the ways of the church. But no, mom and dad, you're not doing this by yourself. You've got this whole community around you. And we're all going to help you raise this child as a child of God, because that's our responsibility, the responsibility of faith. And we get to that place where we praise and worship God, when we recognize what God has given us, and we're thankful for the good things that God has given us, that we are called to nurture and tend to the vineyard, that it might yield a rich harvest. Because today we at a safe distance, we shake our heads, we say, we would never reject Jesus, but we do so often. And if we stop there, that the gospel never strikes us. We are inheritors of a new promise, a new way of being through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We harvest what Israel could not. And it's not as simple as that. And one of the great virtues of the Hebrew Scriptures is to constantly recall those times and places and spaces where we fail to remember God. And that's what we do when we come here. We contemplate our sins and our sinfulness, our brokenness, so we can prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries. And once we come to understand that and possess that and own that, that this is the Jesus way of doing things, Then we begin to take responsibility. Then we start to take responsibility for our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. But it comes from prayer. It comes from meditation, pondering the Holy Word of God. It comes from nurturing our faith, by knowing our faith well, by praising God and thanking God, by serving God and serving one another in acts of charity and compassion. And although we believe in Jesus' promise that the armies of hell will not prevail against us, it should not lead us to think that everything is okay. We constantly have to be at work at the vineyard of the Lord. We have to do what we can to build up the body of Christ by words and actions, by our faith and our faithfulness, and supporting the faith and faithfulness of one another as well. And we nurture that faith. We share the message of Jesus Christ, not just in churchy settings, but wherever we are as well. I remember when I was a child, when I was in junior high, you're talking about prophetic kind of people. And I, for whatever reason, I was like in seventh or eighth grade, and I thought it'd be sort of cool to suck up milk into the straw and to blow it across the table at Peter Caltagirone. I thought, that seems like a good idea. I mean, junior high, those kinds of ideas are really, really good. So I did that. So I sucked up some milk, chocolate milk, from Muller's Pinehurst. Sucked up the milk and blew it across, and Peter's face was covered with chocolate milk. But barely had the first drop of milk dripped off his nose when Sister Dorothy's hand reached out and touched my shoulder in a loving, caring way, reminding me that I needed to clean tables after lunch. It's amazing how that happens sometimes. Sister came out of nowhere, as they always do. But those are the kinds of things. If we are prophetic people, if we are holy people, we take responsibility of calling one another to the ways of righteousness. We take responsibility of showing each other the new ways of salvation, the new ways that we live as a child of God, the ways that we praise and worship God by works of mercy and sacrifice and charity. And sometimes we have to be imaginative. We can't always do the things that we used to because our culture changes. We have to respond to our culture in different ways. We have to respond to our world in different ways as different problems and different difficulties and different things come about us. And that was a workshop several years ago. And I remember the presenter said, you know, the seven last words of the Catholic Church are going to be, we've always done things this way. Because it's not about numbers that we're trying to do, but rather it's about conversion and discipleship, creating a culture of life. And once we begin to create that culture of life, that culture of love, that culture of mercy, a culture where we look at God's love and care for us and share that with one another, well, then we see this increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Then we see holy marriages because we're really working to cultivate holy marriages and family. When we offer thanksgiving and praise for God's gifts, we realize that we can share those gifts with one another in love and charity and return them to God with increase. In both Isaiah and Gospel and Matthew's Gospel today, the rich image of the vineyard is the image of our church. We develop the image of Jesus Christ in our world today by being faithful to his promise, by living as children of God in every way. The mystery that we celebrate helps us understand that we are created for the vineyard and for the kingdom of God. The mystery of faith that we proclaim points to the promise that the church will remain as a bearer of God's word to Israel and the nations throughout the world and people everywhere. Amen.